Good afternoon. My name is Victoria Show. I'm with Dr. Chuck West from Texas Tech University. Today, my topic is the Almanac and Epson model for simulating over blue sand growth and water use under limited irrigation. So the Texas High Plain agriculture is heavily depending on agrolala aquifer, which the aquifer is actually demination because the pump out rate is way more than the recharge rate of the aquifer. So the producer, some producer won't be able to use one well to irrigate the whole field. And we try to reintroduce the grass system into the agriculture system with a better variety or species and better management. So the whole agriculture system will be more sustainable, meanwhile it's more profitable. The target grass I'm working on is called WWB.OverBlueSand, or B.OT for short. The OverBlueSand part indicates a good yield under moderate irrigation in Texas High Plain place, which is semi-arid place, very low precipitation or medium low precipitation. And then the B.OT specific, it has the ability to delay the flowering and the stem elongation, so it can maintain a leafy and green canopy for animal consumption into the later season. This is a graph that showing the cattle graze towards the later July. This is one single plant fully developed, and see how green it is. And this is a graph that's showing the seed head developed. Meanwhile, you can see in the background that the canopy is still leafy and green. Agriculture system model. Agriculture system models help us to understand the complex system, that scenarios we are not able to run in the field work, scenarios that it's impossible to run for the producer in the field work as a reason. And automatically it wants to meet the producer's need to lower the financial risk, to make the best efficient to use the resources, and in my case, the water allocation and irrigation scheduling, and automatically it wants to make maximum of the profitability. And currently there's no model calibrated for B.OT. So for you guys that's not working with the model system, a consumption model works as with collecting data and math equation, you build up a logic. Then you use a new set of independent data to verify the consumption model. If it verify really well, you use another set of new data to validate it. If your validation fail, then you need to upgrade your logic. But if it didn't fail, congratulations, you got a new model. And everything in the red rectangle is majorly my work on both models. The objective of this presentation is to show you the calibration and validation for the models under the simulate the growth of B.OT under limited water conditions. An established pasture of B.OT at Texas Tech University New Deal research location was used for my research, and the growing season precipitation is around 31 centimeters. We put no more than 20 centimeters irrigation on top of that. And here's the map showing where exactly is my research plot, and if you enlarge that, here is the detailed plot of my research. Few samplings, including the photosynthetically active radiation measurement and biomass clip at 8 centimeter. We don't want to clip it too low. It was done bi-weekly on 12 random plots, each sampling date, and the sampling size is 1 by 1 square meter. We divided the 2014, 15, and 16 into two growing periods. At the end of period one, the whole field was mowed down, so the period two will consider as a new regrowth. And year 2014 is considered as a calibration, and year 15 and 16 is validation. The lab work, including the irradiation calculation based on above and below the plant canopy of the light inception, biomass collection divided into two parts. One part is for leaf area index development, and the other part is dry and 55 degree for yield determination. So data was collected at the end of, at the beginning of the growing season every year at each paddock, and weather data was collected daily by an on-site weather station. For both model I'm working, basically you need weather data and your lab data. If you have soil data, that would be nice. If you don't, you can use the USDA NRCS soil data. In order to get radiation use efficiency, growing degree days, and water use efficiency for biomass accumulation, biomass portioning, or water use efficient. The AMNAP model. Here's the long name of it, and I'm not going to read it out for you. This is an interface of the AMNAP model. You can select your location by the altitude and longitude, then you input your weather, soil, and crop information. You can move on later into different management practice, then the model will be able to simulate your biomass portioning and biomass accumulation. For the crop specific, there's a calibration has already done on another over blue stands bar by the model developer. And as they indicate, everything in this rectangle is the key parameters I need to work on. It includes water radiation use efficiency, maximum temperature, base temperature, maximum leaf area index, and some other parameters I will go through with you in detail. For the potential heat unit, we plotted out the accumulated heat unit over the data of 2014. When there's a visual emerge and there is the beginning of the maturation, that will be the curve of BDOT specific. And on the day 233 is August 21, we got the cumulative heat unit as the potential heat unit 1770. Same plot, but we plotted with leaf area index. On the day of 181, we got the maximum of leaf area developed. So in this case, we got the parameter DLAI as 0.56. If you plotted out the leaf area index from 0 to 1 over the accumulated heat unit, you will have a curve like this. And then at the point of 10% and 90% of the leaf area index, you will have a reflected to exactly point on the cumulative heat unit to get the parameter DLAP1 and DLAP2. So for the first period, remember I said we divided the whole plot in the whole year into two periods. So for the first period, this is what it looks like, and the DLAP1 is 25.242, DLAP2 is 48.25. For the second period, the DLAP1 is 13.14, DLAP2 is 22.85. Biomass energy ratio, which is the radiation use efficient, we plotted out the accumulated above ground biomass over the accumulated stored PAR radiation. Then we get a slope of 0.18. Remember, this is only the cumulative above ground biomass. For the model, it needs above ground and underground biomass. So with a Roushou ratio of 0.65, we'll get the WA as 1.3. Remember this graph earlier? Now with all the update of the parameters, we got a new set of in detail. Here's what it looks like. And for the period one, it has the updated calibrated value. However, this value actually worked for period two, as which was the initial calibrated default value. So we'll see it different later. As the result shows, this is what it looks like with a default simulation, and this is what it looks like with my calibration. So visually, it looks really good, right? This is how it looks like visually. And we run a statistic analysis. This is the one-to-one line. There's no significant difference according to the statistic analysis for the slope different to one. So I can say this calibration right now is good enough for the validation. For 2015 validation, this is what the visually what it looks like on the biomass over the date. And and here's the one-to-one line look like. Statistically, there's no difference on the slope difference from one either. For 2016, this is what it looks like on both periods over the biomass on the date. And also, statistically, there's no difference on the slope from one. At this point, I can say that my model has been successfully calibrated and validated on my spot on those years. So I move on to Epson model. This is the interface of the Epson model. And according on this slide only, you can tell it's much more user-friendly than the Almanac model, which is a process-orientated. And as a matter of fact, just getting the model running, I spent about 10% of the time to get this model run than the other one. So it's really accessible. For the key parameters indicated by the manual to use, here are the key 4-1 that I changed. And here's the calibration look like. Simulated with default, it looks like this. And here's my initial calibration look like. With this much little improvement, I just want to run an initial validation on it to see how the model actually can validate it. And it looks like this on both periods. You can see actually it did pretty well at the low yield, but towards the higher yield, it started to tail it off. So for 2015 period one validation, above ground mount mass has a significant difference than one slope on this one as it shows. And for this period two, it has a slope no difference than one. However, it has a systematic error. So at this point, we indicate that my initial nitrogen might be off, and this is might cause that problem. As conclusion, the calibrations of both models improve the simulation of VDOT over the default. And Almanac especially, since I finished my location validation, I want to move on to another location with different environment and different management. And for Epson model, the Pure 1 simulation was acceptable at low yield. However, the calibration itself needs to be improved and more work to be done. And then after that, further validations will be on more scenario to conduct and see how the application of these two models can do. I would like to thank USDA ARS Global Aquifer Program for funding this research and Southern Sierra Large System. I would like to offer a special thanks to Dr. Alex Rocatelli for helping me to establish this work. And he's sitting right there, if you don't know him. And also everyone in Texas Tech Forage Group and everyone in Texas Tech Pencil Science. It's a lot of help along the way. From now on, I can take any questions.
Any questions for Victoria?
So for collecting the data, especially the radiation efficiency, you said you did not irrigate more than 20 centimeters high. Is that choice, your choice, or is the model requirement not to have the potential radiation efficiency like the maximum one? I can't remember how long the model runs.
Thank you. The question was regarding I did not add more than 20 centimeters irrigation. And is it my choice or is the model requirement to achieve certain radiation use efficiency rate, right? And to the answer that, I choose that. Because in the beginning, in the introduction, we talk about there's a water deficient really bad in the agriculture system in Texas Panhandle and the Texas High Plain on the aquifer. It's highly depending on the aquifer. So we try not to add too much irrigation, especially compared to the low irrigated column. We try to push that limit too to see if how far we can go just to maintain the grass growing, but meanwhile still profitable. So that was one of the things that when we designed this, we choose to set it really, really low as 20 centimeters. It's not the model requirement.
And do you think that will be transferable, like since you're not using the maximum that species is going to produce, do you think that's transferable to another environment in terms of modeling?
The question is if it's the maximum, if I add more water, would it be more biomass production?
It turns out the model, so mm-hmm. with those parameters, do you think you can use to model with a different environment? Or that would be very environmental?
Is my calibration good for validated on another location? That's my next job work, and I do have confidence in that. For one of the reason is I calibrate the model on 2014, and that year we have an early season rain. We do not really have water deficiency that year. So it's, to me, it looks like if you're gonna grow the same grass or in West Texas, from West Texas to South Texas in Houston area, you are not gonna overachieve that. And I do have the confidence to apply my model more, but there's more calibration need to be done. If I change location, I would say yes, because each location has slightly different, and if the crop parameters work perfectly well, then I think I might achieve something really, really novel that I don't want to overpromising you right now.
All right. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.